Welcome to Surf of the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I am Bix.
And we welcome you to our episode, which is about what today?
So today we are talking about BLFC 2023, The Curse of Korat. I actually don't know how to say that. What is it?
It's a let me go back to the website.
Caressa? No, that's kind of what I always had it in my mind as, is Caressa, but it's not. It's like, it's spelled Corassa. Corassa?
Course of Concordia? No, not, that's not that. It's just,
Curse is something that we can't pronounce.
It's so funny. When I was on, so I did staff for like, 4 hours. And so a bunch of us were just sitting there at the panel desk trying to figure out how to say the word, and we couldn't figure it out. And someone's like, okay, I think you got it right.
Wait, hold on. Let's, when in doubt, ask Google Translate.
I just want to put this out there. They have been talking now for over 18 minutes before actually starting this episode. And at no point in time did they ever try to even look up what this name was.
Who's going to do it?
We're going to find out. It's either going to say what it is. Let's see. Korassa.
Korassa. Oh, okay.
Korassa.
Curse when in doubt, Google could do it for you.
I know, literally. It makes me wonder, though, now, what is Korassa?
I'm assuming it's the land or the world they created.
They actually, they have a whole lore page on the BLFC website.
Yeah, they do.
You can download a PDF version of the lore book.
Which I thought about, but then I was like, do I really want to spend this much time? No.
Yeah.
More importantly, before we get on with our episode, this is your very first time appearing on an episode.
Yes, it is.
You're our newest member. How excited are you?
I'm pretty excited. I've been listening to the podcast for, gosh, I don't even know how long now. I think I was a sophomore in high school when I first discovered the podcast, and that was about 4 years ago. So yeah, about 4 years.
That's cool. And what else do you do?
So right now I am a student studying graphic arts.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's about all I can say about school. I'm studying graphic arts. I don't know what else to say about it, but yeah.
What programs are they going to have you use? They still use InDesign?
You know what? So right now I'm just kind of in the intro classes, but they have this weird obsession with Canva.
I love Canva. I use it.
So that's the thing. That's the thing. Canva's great, but I'm Adobe certified. I'm certified in Photoshop and everything already. And so it's like, I was expecting to be using those programs. Now I'm having to learn something new.
Well, it's so funny though. So like, there's a coffee place called Dutch Bros. Have you been to it?
I love Dutch Bros. Oh my gosh.
I love them so much. Oh, so good. But I've noticed, if you ever look at their menus, those totally came from Canva. I know well, here's the other thing too, though.
I can see it. I believe that.
Yeah. And I'm like, I know exactly what poster background that is.
Yeah.
But what I have discovered is that Canva is along the lines of other programs that are exactly like Canva. There's a couple other out there, but they're not as cool as Canva is. Mm-hmm. It's what I used to make all of our thumbnails.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I have Photoshop
Elements. We are not sponsored by Canva.
I do not use. No, we are not sponsored. No one sponsors us. No. But I do like it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does what I need to do, and sometimes I have to go into Elements and create my own. But
that's the thing for me, is I just use Photoshop for all my class assignments. I like, try and use Canva, and I'm like, I'm good.
If you've learned Photoshop and you try to go into this other program, it like breaks your mind. And I'm trying to remember what the other one is. It's like
a drawing program.
It's a drawing program. I think it's got like a dog for the icon.
Oh shoot. Is it crap?
Drawing program.
Oh, GIMP.
Oh yeah, GIMP. GIMP.
Yeah. GIMP.
GIMP. Yeah. Oh my god. So I love Photoshop, but when I try to go into GIMP, I hate whatever I've learned because it's so hard to figure out how to use GIMP. In fact, I've heard that you either need to learn GIMP first and then Photoshop, or if you know Photoshop, don't ever use GIMP. That's how it is.
Something I use a website called Photopea, and it's literally just some college student was sick of paying for Photoshop, so he just ported it to the internet.
Oh.
So if you look up Photopea, it's literally just Photoshop, but a browser.
Yeah.
On a browser.
That's interesting. That's kind of cool.
So it's got everything.
It's open source.
Yeah.
Huh. That is intriguing. I'm going to save that for later and play with it. Love playing around with stuff. But anyways, we're going to be talking about Biggest Little Fur Con. We talk about it almost every year because it's the closest con that I go to.
Yes.
Sorry if you hear me clear my throat. I am trying to clear it up with Gatorade.
Fair enough. Gatorade works wonders.
It does. So let's get some background about Biggest Little Fur Con. If you haven't figured it out from the past episodes, the past years, well, here we are to tell you all about it again. So its location is in Reno, Nevada. So kind of like the armpit of Nevada.
Literally.
However, it's oddly enough, like for it being like not like the most amazing city, it is the most amazing city when it comes to air quality. I have really bad asthma.
Yeah.
Severe asthma. And I didn't really have to use my inhaler once when I was there. And I'm like, damn, Salt Lake, what's your problem?
No, so, that's the really hard thing for me is I can literally see the oil refineries in Salt Lake outside of my window. And so it's like,
awful. What a great, great view.
Mm-hmm. That's why the rent's so cheap.
The dates of this particular convention usually is in around June or July.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there was some issues with the hotel. And so they ended up settling with a date of October 30th to November 2nd. So over Halloween. But it was so... That's not necessarily the problem right there. The problem is that it was during the week.
Yeah, it was during the week, which I've heard a lot of...
Controversy
and mixed opinions on it. Some people really liked it on the week and other people wanted it on the weekend. So it's just, yeah.
I would prefer the weekend. And the reason being is because it takes up a lot of PTO to go throughout the week. Like, I had to take up 40 hours of PTO out of my own just to go to this convention. That's a lot, especially since I have, like, other things that I need PTO for.
Man, that makes me jealous. I don't get PTO.
Oh, when you get a job and you have a job, though, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I just don't get PTO.
That's no good. So, I mean... Because it was during the week, there was a lot of things that weren't necessarily available. Like, for instance, the buffet, which was not fun. And then the pool also was also technically not going to be available.
The pool was an interesting... I don't know. The pool was really interesting the whole time because it wasn't working. And then it was. And then it wasn't again. I don't know.
I was a volunteer. So I got to see all the like, my God, what is going on? I've like chugged like 2/3 of this cup. Sorry. side tangent. Space needs throat lube, and not the kind you're thinking of.
I need to make that a sticker now, just your fursona that we can sell on some online website. Space needs throat lube.
So there were things that were like, for instance, like the pool, they were going to try to preheat the pool 2 days before. But even when the day that it did open, there was controversy on information on, well, the pool's not open or it's not working. Or
that was something I noticed. There's a lot of
misinformation going around.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get like a solid answer. And you would think that like in the staff chat that I was in, I could get a solid answer, but I just couldn't. It wasn't.
See, that was the other annoying thing for me is I noticed that a lot of the staff didn't even have answers. They were like, I have no idea. And I was like,
they're getting the information, secondhand information. So I had to like go to like Tycho and be like, bro, what is the answer to this one question that I've been trying to figure out for like 3 days now? The guy's a busy man. The venue is at the Grand Sierra Resort. It's there every year. It's a very big resort.
It is very fancy. I love the GSR.
It's so nice. It very much is. And the theme this year was, how do we say it again? Corasa? Curse of Corasa.
Curse of Corasa. And it was the sequel to the 2019 Curse of Corasa. So it's already been a theme and they just...
kind of reused it.
Essentially. I mean, it was just a rinse and recycle, but they tried to create some... more lore and change things up a little bit from what I understand.
I didn't go to the 2019 one because
it was the COVID
epidemic and I just wasn't going to chance it. But
the 2019 one?
Yeah.
When did they hold it in 2019?
I thought they had one in 2019.
They did. Yeah. They didn't have one in 2020.
Was it 2020?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I get lost. I don't know. Fair. There was one that I didn't attend and I was just like, I'm not going to go because whatever.
Because it skips from 2019 to 2021. They did try and hold a virtual con for 2020, but then they just canceled it.
Yeah. Now, the theme was interesting. What I did like, there are things that I did and didn't like about it. There's so much to learn.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to the website, like goblfc.org, and then just go to the theme and you can read the book.
So I actually have the introduction to it right here, actually, if you want me to read that.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, introduction to the Cross. So the Cross is a region blessed with an abundance of natural harbors, mountains, and valley passes, a far-reaching and wide array of rivers, creeks, and canals. Trade is lucrative, competitive, and expansive. The main trade hubs cradle accessways and ports of the Carbon Sea, the conduit to the rest of the world. The largest natural bays are then understandably the home of the richest cities. Massive deserts surround the inland edges of the Cross, ensuring sea trade is well maintained by all parties. Common interests regulate internally to prevent loss of profit, namely the eradication of piracy and smuggling over the sea routes. Over many generations, an extreme diversity of people, culture, government, commerce, and adventure has developed. Driven by disputes on the features of the land, a smattering of strategic river crossings, spire locations, and areas of natural resource accessibility.
There's a lot in there.
I don't know if that made complete sense to you. It didn't to me.
No, it didn't to me either. So you could, there's also a podcast you could listen to. I tried listening to the podcast, but I felt like there was a quality issue.
It was really
confusing.
Yeah, it was really confusing. And looking through like the lore book of the world, it like, doesn't quite make sense either. The lore book
looks awesome. Like, they did a great job.
It looks really good, and it's got really good art.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I just don't quite understand. Like, is Coursera the world, or is it? There's the Cross of the world. I can't tell.
Yeah, you know, I'm not quite sure, because it says the introduction to Cross, but then it also talks about something else.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to, like, you can read this lore book, but there is so much to read. I feel like this is very much like a D&D-esque RPG type.
Yeah. It, like, just looking through it, it gives me the vibe of the Player's Handbook from D&D.
I am not a D&Der, and I'm not an RPG-er either. So it really wasn't for me, but even then, I still kind of like, I don't know. I was trying to like get into the mood of it, but I just really couldn't. There's just, the theme was kind of lost with me a little bit. I think they tried a little too hard.
I didn't really notice the theme playing into the majority of the con to begin with. Like, it was there, but the only time I really noticed the theme was in signage, the badges, or
the Dealer's Den, where they play
Dealer's Den, and then like the opening and closing ceremonies. But outside of that, I didn't really.
And it's interesting because, you know, BLFC is known for their themes. Like, they are usually pretty dynamite with the themes. At least in the past, they have been. Mm-hmm. I kind of want them to go back to the dystopian era one and just continue with that, because it was so cool.
The one that catches my eye is the 2014 80s pop culture.
That was rad.
That sounds really good.
I also like the 2000, what was it?
The Roaring Twenties in 2013.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah. One I did actually notice was I think it was the BLF Corp Utopia.
Oh, yeah, that one.
That one, it kind of had a Big Brother, like a 1984-esque theme.
Which was really cool.
I liked it. I thought it was cool.
They did a really good job with that.
I didn't go, but I saw a lot about it.
But I mean, you know what? They took a gamble. They pursued a copy of what they've already done before. So
see, that actually makes me wonder if maybe they weren't as detailed with the lore this time around, just because it's something already existed. Yeah.
All they had to do is just edit it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they literally used the same adventurers from the 2019 con.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with recycling a theme, but if you're going to recycle a theme, at least try to make it better than it was before.
Hey, they offered plushies this time, not just figurines.
True. There's lots of themes out there. Like, I would love to see them do, like, a space theme, like an outer, like, intergalactic wars type of theme. That would be
What con so was cool. it that did that one time? There was a convention that had kind of a...
There's one, it's like future or feral something. Like, the whole con itself takes place like in the future, which is really cool, but I can't remember what the name of it is.
Was it Galactic Camp?
No, but that sounds
that one's in California. Fun. Let's see. I just looked up space themed furry conventions. There's Stratosphere in Houston.
No.
Furlandia, I'm not sure.
Tales and Tornadoes, FurCon.
I saw that one too, yeah.
What? Makes no sense.
In Oklahoma.
It kind of bugs me. I wonder if I can find
Something I've started noticing is that most states in the U.S. actually have their own convention. It's just whether they were popular or not. And most of them closed down. I know that in Idaho, we had a convention, or we had two conventions. So we had for Idaho. I have Furlandia open next to it.
For Idaho. Did not last very long. I went to that one.
It was so
special.
Yeah. So basically it was meant as a replacement for FurFest Northwest, which I think that's funny. Midwest and Northwest FurFest. Anyways, the first convention was in 2012 and it ended 2014, which is understandable. It's Idaho. But then a local group of furries decided to try and create a new convention in Rexburg, Idaho.
What did they call that one? RexCon?
PotatoCon.
They literally called it PotatoCon?
PotatoCon. But it's like, instead of the normal spelling of potato, it's P-A-W, like paw, and then tato.
What? That's so dumb. I'm sorry.
It was held at the Madison County Library.
Wow. That's special.
I know. I remember when they made an announcement about it, and I was like, what is this?
That is definitely
something. They're still paying for their website, but like the last time they tried to do anything was 2020. So if you go to like events and attend, it's like the 2020 PotatoCon.
That's so special. That makes me feel special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not finding the one that I was thinking of. Oh well, I'm sure it'll come to me at a time that is not even necessary. So there's the theme there for you for the whole convention there. They have not listed a new theme because they have not been able to secure new dates yet. We're not sure
yeah.
if they're going to do dates during the week or if they're going to do dates during on the weekend. They just put out a survey for that.
I think they're still probably going over like the feedback regarding that.
So it's going to take some time. Generally, most conventions already have this ready to go. So at the end, when they're doing your closing ceremonies, you should know the theme at the end of that.
Yeah.
But I think that was a shocker because a lot of people were like, what? So no one knew what the theme was. No one knows if they're going to come back. There's just like a lot of ifies in the air right now.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't blame them. From a lot of what I heard in a lot of my interactions, the GSR they were especially antsy about the convention this year. Like they had I'm not sure either. There wasn't really an explanation.
Well, I have one possible explanation, but it kind of makes sense, but it's still kind of a dick move to make them do a week convention.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when they have regular conventions, regular con goers go gambling. But what do furries do? They pour the money back into their own community at the dealer's den and they don't go gambling.
Yeah.
And for that, the hotel takes a loss.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of the reasons, but still.
I mean, I'd believe it.
But who knows? Well, hopefully they'll come back, but we won't know until next year, probably.
I'm sure they'll come back. And honestly, I'd be willing to bet that we have the answer to that by the end of this year
probably. Or
like the first bit of next year, honestly. Like, I don't think it's going to be long till we hear. I just think that they have a lot to go over and process right now.
Yeah. Let's talk about some things that happened during the con. So classics like registration, for instance.
Oh, yes. Line Con.
It was very interesting. We love
Line Con.
They opened up registration to those who pre-registered at, I think there were two, how many different tiers were there?
There was a sponsor and something above that.
Okay, there was attendee, sponsor, patron, and Epic.
Okay, so Epic, patron, and sponsor, they were able to register the first day.
Yeah.
Not the first day, but
like the day before.
The Sunday before the con started.
Yeah. And then everybody else
was able to
just register. Yeah. Pile in after that. Mm-hmm. I, however, didn't have to wait in line because I was volunteering. All I had to do was go to the volunteer desk and pick up my badge and all my goodies there, and I was good to go.
Smart.
Pretty awesome. Now that I know that, I am definitely volunteering again next year.
Fair enough. I mean, there's definitely those little hacks for each convention.
Yeah, yeah. What I did notice, because I decided to sit in just some chairs waiting for my husband and their friends to go through, I heard that there was a lot of misinformation between volunteers and staff. For instance, they were saying that attendees could be in the line if they wanted to, and they could essentially get their registration taken care of, only to find out that at the very front of the line, once they had to get there, they were told no and turned away. But they were being told this by people at the very back end of the line.
There wasn't very good communication between staff members, is something I noticed.
With the registration, it definitely kind of threw me off a bit, and I was kind of making note of it. I was like saying, like, oh, there seems to be some misinformation. And I was letting people know that in both the Telegram and then on Slack, because now they use all their stuff is on Slack and all the conversations.
Oh, wait, they use Slack now?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, it is what it is. I guess it's a little bit more organizational, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just not a big fan of Slack. I don't know how it works, and I don't want to know how it works.
I'm happy using
Telegram.
I've used it for work, but now we use Teams at work, so I'm fair. Teams.
Yeah.
I would have been okay if they'd just done Teams. It would have been better. But there seemed to be a little bit of miscommunication between the staff and the volunteers and then what information was real and what wasn't.
Yeah.
I did see a lot of people get turned away. Now, this one was a pretty obvious one. So this has nothing to do with the convention itself, because they actively kept saying, make sure you have your COVID shot information.
So that actually kind of was interesting to me. When I learned that they were still requiring the COVID shot, I went and looked around, and most of the large conventions don't require it anymore.
Yeah, they were the only ones that did.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was like, the pandemic's over, and it's been...
Now, to be fair, though,
yeah,
the infection rate actually has jumped up again, because it's wintertime.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Season. That would make sense. Also, I'm not sure what Nevada's ruling was. Maybe there was a reason they had to kind of maybe be on par with the health department of Nevada, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different possibilities.
Yeah.
My guess is it probably wasn't the actual convention chair or convention board themselves making that decision. It was probably like GSR policy or
something
like that, health department or something.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't a bad thing. It's just, you know, some people like forgot their stuff like in a hotel room or offsite.
Yeah.
So I kept hearing frustration like that. And then, you know, of course, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, you know, you can access your immunizations through your state website. Which state is that? And
I'm trying to like help. That honestly is what saved my life, because I left my vaccine card at home, and that app you showed me, Docket, that saved my butt.
Docket only works for like a couple of states, though. I didn't realize it wasn't like a...
Yeah,
like
a, yeah.
It's only like a couple of states.
It's only Utah, Arizona, Idaho,
Mexico.
Alaska, I think, was on there.
And I think maybe Colorado. I'm not sure on that one, though. But it holds all your information, so it's great. So you have all your information there. But I got mine done, but I was a little worried because I'm like, I kept seeing like one of our friends got COVID, and then I kept hearing that someone else got COVID. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God.
Okay, sorry, I have it. I had to check. So it's Alaska, Idaho, Minnesota, New Jersey, Utah, and Wyoming.
Oh, wow.
Those are the only states. It really jumps around.
Yeah, but it'd be kind of cool if more people use it, because it's quite nice.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Overall, though, registration really wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I mean, the line went pretty quickly. It was pretty well organized, in all honesty.
The weird thing was, is I knew that it was part, like, as the days went on, it got smaller and smaller, but then they moved registration, and I have no idea where they moved it to. I could not figure it out.
I heard that they moved it, but I didn't see it for the rest of the convention.
Yeah, neither did I. One thing I do want to kind of point out this year, and I really wish they would have just opened more doors, but it seemed like they only had specific doors open to get into particular areas. So if you wanted to get into the game area, you had to go down the hall to the left, and then two sets of doors were open. That was it. You couldn't get in through anywhere else. If you wanted to go onto
which game area are you talking about?
Something like the tabletop area,
the one inside the Nevada Nevada.
Yeah,
like there was the Nevada Lounge or something.
It's Nevada. Yeah, I think so. Nevada room.
Yeah, so I understand why they put, especially like the artist alley and the tabletop and video games, behind another set of doors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past some furries to try and steal some of that stuff.
Now, on the casino level, though, if you go down to where like the main stage was and all that stuff, again, they only had one specific panel of doors open for you to get in and out.
Whereas into the grand
yeah
ballroom.
Whereas in the past, they've had multiple doors open, so you wouldn't have to just file into one particular area. Mm-hmm. Now, I did ask about this, and it's because they were hiring out staff to particular...
They were hiring out security.
Security. And so it would cost more security, more money to have more doors open because they need to have more people covering it. And they don't want to have volunteers doing that because that's a mundane process of doing. So they just paid for people to do it. I hope next year they just open it up and maybe shell out that extra money because it really is nicer that way.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But other than that, it's not too bad. Everything else is pretty good.
It really was a good con overall.
Yeah. I hear you went to some dances and raves.
I did. I went to two of the raves and then the pool parties as well.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked them. I thought they were a lot of fun.
We went to the pool party, I think, on the second or third day. And so we went out.
I didn't go until the third day.
That was hard because... It was a lot of misinformation again on the pool thing, trying to figure out, is the pool open? Is it not open? Are the hot tubs working? Are they not working? Like, I was told that maybe one was working. It was a lot of like information that I couldn't figure out what the actual answer was. Eventually, we did figure it out. We went out there. The infinity pool, which is usually always warm, was freezing cold. I can't believe people were actually in that thing. And I'm like, I'm not getting in this. So
yeah, I only did the hot tub the first night I was there.
Yeah, we went to the hot tub. The hot tubs were nice. They were super hot, though. Like, those things were ready to go. But then the pool did open, and I didn't go into the pool because I didn't want to at that point.
Fair.
I was a little too cold.
So yeah, I was going to say, it didn't really warm up until the last day.
Yeah.
But then the last day was something else entirely, and I'm glad I didn't get in the main pool the last night.
Tell them.
So... The last day of the convention, they had the pool party. So it was on the Thursday. And I think it was the biggest attendance of the pool party that week. But when people started going back to their rooms, they started noticing that their swimsuits were lighter in color or different colors completely. A lot of people had skin irritation. And so we came to the conclusion, the consensus was that there was too much chlorine in the pools. Yeah. So they went down. So I was one of these people. My swimsuit was significantly lighter, and my friend's swimsuit had been bleached from black to light gray, like light gray. Ugh. And a few of us had like rashes and skin irritation really bad. So we went down and reported to the front desk of the GSR, and they had somebody go test the water, and the chlorine amount in the pool was about five times higher than it should have been, and the temperature of the actual hot tubs, they were lower than normal, and so it wasn't burning off any of the existing chlorine.
Oh.
So there was too much chlorine, and then there was a lot of still chlorine that was just kind of sitting there.
And not doing anything.
Yeah, and so it was just a big kind of ordeal that last night. A lot of people went and talked to the hotel staff. Yeah.
Now, it wasn't the convention's fault. They did want to point out that this is something that the hotel messed up on.
Yes.
And so they're saying if you have had any issues, you need to contact the hotel, let them know.
Yeah. The hotel closed the pool after that. The BLFC staff made an announcement about it. And I think for the most part, everybody was okay. They just went and showered. But I think there was one or two people who might have been hospitalized from it. I'm not quite sure. But they had been in the pool most of the night.
Hasn't been hospitalized. I'm sorry. That happens every year.
So even if there wasn't somebody hospitalized from the pool, the first day there was a small room party some friends were holding. Actually, they're in my local furry group from Idaho, and they just kind of were hanging out with some friends. And one of their friends came in, and he had OD'd on his medicine. He'd overdosed his medicine, and he kind of walked in the room and like straight up fainted. So they had to call the paramedics, and he went to the hospital. But the GSR kicked them out of their room and would not allow them back on the property for the rest of the convention. So they got kicked out the Sunday night and had to stay at a hotel like 10 minutes away for the rest of the week. And they weren't allowed to go back to the convention. Like, they weren't allowed on the GSR property.
Wow.
Which was super interesting to me because it wasn't their fault. It was somebody else who just made dumb decisions. I don't know. The GSR was really kind of like antsy this year, if you ask me.
A little. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
But other than that, I think other than that, I mean, it was really great. There wasn't anything super controversial.
Well, except for the Bad Dragon Club.
Oh, Oh, gosh.
I only heard about it until later. Yeah. I heard that, like, a couple of fursuiters fell into the pool.
Yeah. I don't understand why they have a pool in the nightclub to begin with.
It's such... I don't know any nightclubs that have pools in them, but like
I've never heard of it.
The Lex has always had one, and I've always thought, oh, well, if you can't go swimming in the winter, you could always go swimming out there if the pool was closed for whatever reason.
And but then everybody goes and says, like, or you go and ask people, and you're like, should you go swimming? And they're like, no, why would you go swimming there?
Yeah. So,
well, they have a pool, so one would assume.
So, I mean, I would assume, like, if you've been to the convention before, you know that there's a pool in there. I just don't mm-hmm. know where. I would just assume that as a fursuiter, you should know this at that point. But at the same time, why didn't the club just kind of like put up some barriers so that people wouldn't accidentally?
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't. I don't know. I just thought that was funny. I'm like, how do you fall into a pool?
It was
special moments.
I honestly would have paid to see that because it like just the visual representation in my mind is hilarious.
That would have gone viral, and I wish I was
literally there.
Yeah. But speaking of, you know, raves and nightclubs and all that stuff, why don't you tell us about the dances and stuff that you went to?
Okay, so the main dance I went to was the After Dark rave, so I won't speak too much about that. But the other rave I went to, I was there for about an hour, and it was a lot of fun. They had a lot of different DJs, a lot of different performers. My favorite part, though, was kind of in between performers, they would have staff go out into the crowd and invite people up onto the stage. That's cool. So I was invited up onto the stage to dance with just a group of other furs who were just up there kind of just having fun with it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool.
I didn't go to any of the dances this year. It just kind of wasn't like feeling it.
That's fair. I've never been to any of the dances, so I just really wanted to.
I was kind of hoping for some, like, you know, concerts to be going on, but there really wasn't. Like, I went to one concert and I kind of wish I didn't.
Concert did you go to?
Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let me go into the event schedule here. It was...
Was it the CK9C concert?
Maybe. No, it was. I did go to one concert. There was a coyote guy that was like singing, and he was really cute, really good.
That sounds like CK9C because he's a coyote.
That was a good one. But there was one before that I went to. Oh, it was Yaps and Baps with Nico Fox. That was mm-hmm. a good one. That was the good one that I went to. But there was one before that that just kind of sucked. I'm trying to figure out.
I wanted to go to some of the concerts, but the only person I really knew was CK9C, who does a lot of like video game music.
Yeah.
So are you familiar with Sister Location?
No.
Like the Five Nights at Freddy's
Sister Location. Yeah.
So they've done a lot of music for those kinds of video games. Not like that's actual in the game itself, but just fan music for a lot of those horror game kind of stuff. Have you ever heard of CG5?
I don't think so.
He's another one of those popular, just kind of like indie artists who likes to make songs about games and other random stuff.
There was one, I think it was later that day. Oh, yeah. It was the Reno Video Game Symphony Performance.
I didn't hear about that one.
That was so cool. So it was
like an actual symphony?
Yeah, it was like an actual symphony of like furries.
Oh, nice. Maybe I did see that one.
It was.
I don't think I stayed for the actual Grand Ballroom. Yeah, yeah. I didn't stay for like the actual performance, but I saw them while I was going to the Fursuit Lounge in the Grand Ballroom.
It was really cool.
I saw them when I was listening to their music.
There was a jazz. It was like a jazz like symphony almost.
And yeah. Kind of like, yeah.
They played different songs. I'm like, this is cool. I really enjoyed this. Like my husband and I really just kind of sat there and just really enjoyed the whole concert. It was a lot of fun.
So, sorry. That just gives me another thought that doesn't pertain to BLFC, but at MFF, they just announced that they have a furry choir performing this year.
What?
So.
That's cool.
And I'm in it. I volunteered to be in the tenor section for them.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to have rehearsals, and then they're going to perform like the second to last night of MFF.
When is MFF?
So MFF is the...
Next week?
Yeah, literally next week. I actually leave a week from today.
Ooh.
So yeah, my flight leaves out the 26th, and then... Sorry, not the 26th. My flight leaves the 29th, and it's the 30th through the 3rd.
Oh, we'll be doing another review then, I guess.
Yeah.
Fun. Hopefully no chlorine happens at yours.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I was there for that one. That was fun. We'll always be known as chlorine confirmation.
Crossing our fingers. Crossing our fingers.
Nothing happens. They actually do. Have you never been to MFF before?
I've never been to MFF. This is going to be my first time.
Okay. So it is actually a pretty cool con. They have a lot of open areas. I've seen
pictures of the convention center. And honestly, I love the layout of the hotel. We have a hotel here in Salt Lake, the Doubletree.
Yeah.
Downtown. Yeah. Very visually similar to the MFF, to the Hyatt.
Yeah, very similar. Mm-hmm. If you ever go to the restaurant in the main hotel, like the generic one, I think it's like a bar too, possibly, get the nachos. They're the most phenomenal nachos you will ever eat. And then it will always ruin you for nachos that you eat after that. I have been searching for like just something that's even similar to the nachos that I had there, and they do not exist. Let me see if I can actually find them. Where's the MFF? MFF. Snow Days. Oh, that's cute. What a cute little theme. Let's see. Where's that hotel?
You could probably, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if some furry has replicated the recipe somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Oh, sorry. I'm just going through the wiki for BLFC. Did you know that it is the third largest convention in the United States behind Anthrocon and MFF?
And it is the only con.
Nobody's ever heard of it.
It's one of the only cons that has ever broken its own record multiple times every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I find that, I don't know, I just find that interesting because a lot of people, when I was like, oh, I'm going to BLFC, most people were like, what's BLFC? You know, it's BLFC. But apparently there's just a bunch of furries who have never heard of BLFC, and it shocked me.
Oh, I found it. Okay. So it's at the Red Bar and Grill, which is
where in the main hotel?
It's in the main hotel.
Okay.
And their nachos, I mean, this sounds really generic, but trust me, it's so good. It's got like cheddar cheese, sauce, guacamole, tomato salsa, jalapeno, sour cream, and you can add chicken or chopped steak. It is phenomenal. It's like the best thing on the menu. So
that sounds super good.
It's so fucking good.
I might have to hold off on the jalapenos, but that sounds really good.
You don't like jalapenos?
I have the worst spice tolerance known to man. Water is too spicy for me half the time.
That's funny.
Oh, specifically the spicy jalapenos. Water. The caffeinated water.
You don't like caffeinated water?
No. It's too spicy.
Wow. Interesting. Maybe it's the carbonation.
Yeah, that is the carbonation. I just call carbonated water spicy water.
Spicy water.
It's spicy.
You also attended a bowling tournament, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. So BLFC, that is one of the things they're known for, is their bowling tournament. I know they're not the only convention that has a bowling tournament, but as far as I'm aware, they're the only convention that like fully hosts the bowling tournament, because other conventions, they'll have bowling tournaments, but it's like hosted by one person and it's kind of like a panel and it's usually off-site. But because the GSR has its own bowling alley, the convention themselves runs this bowling tournament, and the top four players in the bowling tournament win a free sponsor ticket to the next year's con.
That's cool.
So one of the people, he didn't win this year, but he's won like the last 4 years. His name is Ajay, and he's also a local furry I know pretty well. But yeah, I got to watch my partner and him play in it this year. Something crazy that happened, though, was there was a fursuiter in the competition, and he rolled a perfect game in fursuit the whole
How?
Time. I have no idea, but everybody was losing their minds over it.
He scored a
perfect 300 in fursuit.
Damn, that's impressive.
I know. I was watching it and I was like, how?
That's crazy.
Yeah, but overall, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I went bowling quite a few times. It was a really fun time. It was a lot of fun to just kind of spectate bowling.
I did go to the dance competition.
I did not. How was that? I wanted to go, and then I took a nap through it.
Phenomenal. I loved it. There was one contender. He was young. I'm trying to see if I can... I'm trying to go back into... because I'll send myself notes.
Do you have any idea how young he was?
Probably. Like, his mom was in the crowd. We'll just say that.
There's one... I know there's one fursuit dancer.
Oh, his name was Masher.
Masher? All right. I've never heard of Masher. There's another one.
He came out on stage and the kid just blew the dance floor apart. It was amazing.
There was
one like, oh my God.
Anthrocon for like the last 2 years. And I can't remember the name, but they were really good at it. And they're only like nine or something.
I've seen younger see if I can find this Masher fursuit dance. Oh yeah, here it is. It's perfect. So I'll send this to you to look at later. But it's just Katie kind of goes in there and he just does his thing and then it's done. And I'm like, damn,
that kid's got some, I've seen their suit.
That kid's got some talent. Now, I was like, this kid better place at least minimum third place because he was probably one of the best dancers out of all of them out there.
I love the young dancers. It's so cool to watch them.
But then I knew it as soon as he came out of stage, as soon as they said Ronnie, and I'm like, oh no, Ronnie's going to win. That's just I know who Ronnie is. I met him at MFF. He's been a guest on our show before. He's a really nice guy. I mean, he's just phenomenal. But as soon as he came on stage, I'm like, that's what a dance should look like. And that guy's good. So yeah. He took first place. Someone took second, third. Masher got an honorable mention, but still, it was pretty
good.
Cool.
And that's still pretty good for somebody.
Yeah. So I thought it was really cool. I definitely enjoyed the competition. It was a lot of fun.
You know, go ahead. I just had a random thought. I was just thinking about, you know how most conventions usually do the mass fursuit picture in like the grand ballroom or something?
Yeah.
They didn't actually do that this year. They broke it up by categories.
They've done this multiple times in the past.
They have? Okay. So it was interesting because I've never seen that before.
My biggest critique to this is I don't necessarily like the fursuit festival.
I prefer
the fursuit parade. I think it's better that way. You get to see everyone kind of show off.
They didn't have a fursuit parade. That's right.
They haven't done a parade for a long time. And I didn't really like that. I don't like the fact that you have to, you know, go to like certain categories
at certain times. Yeah. And so it's like you have to stay there for 4 hours if you want to see all the fursuits.
Yeah. It just kind of ruins it for me. And I really feel like the fursuit parade is kind of like what makes the furry convention its thing. It's what people go for, really, is that parade. It's fun.
Yeah.
And then that overall giant picture.
It makes me wonder if it's just more GSR policies.
Possibly. Again, it could have
been. Honestly, I'd believe that. Like, the GSR doesn't want them walking around in a massive line
where their customers could be walking through. But if that was the case, they could have easily allocated space from the main stage to the concert stage.
Yeah. I mean, made like a room. There was space in the rooms we were provided.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was interesting.
Yeah. Overall, it was a good con. Will I go again? Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's close. Our friends are like, well, if they could do it on the weekday again, we're not going to go. And I'm like, you know, to each their own. It was still, I mean, if they do it during the week again, sure, I'll go. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it during the week. It gets me out of work.
Yeah. Same.
But
and then I get the weekend off too. So that it makes it even better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think if we were to give it like a rating, like an actual rating out of 5, like, I don't know, 5 paws.
Yeah, 5 paws, not 5 stars. We're furries here.
I'd say I'd give it like a 4.5, like a solid 4.5.
Yeah, I'd say like a 4.5, maybe a 4.7. I mean, it was a really good con. And I think despite some of the miscommunications and struggles, they kept it running smooth.
Yeah. You didn't really hear much about any incidents. If they did happen, con staff was pretty quick to get it done. They have Flair that takes care of like all the medical and security things too. So if anything happened, you didn't hear about it, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
I volunteered, so I got to see all the different like behind the scenes of how they put things together, how they, you know, all they talk. And
actually, I'm pretty sure I met Flair.
It's not a person. It's an organization.
Oh, I met whoever was in charge of their security. I met them. One of the nights there was a furry who brought in a model train set, like this full HO scale model train set. And he just kind of had it down near the Nevada room and he just kind of set it up in a corner and people would just kind of congregate around and watch these trains go in circles.
That's
but
so cool.
whoever it was who was kind of in charge of security, he stopped by and they were having a conversation with the owner of the model set, and they were actually talking about having it as a panel next year. So instead of just like sitting and talking, there'd just be a whole room with a model train set in it.
I know someone who would definitely love to go to that.
I would love to go to that. I ride trains for fun.
There's a guy in our Telegram chat, his name is Force Under Productions, also known as Zephyr. Mm-hmm. He was there at the convention. I got to meet him. I got to go to breakfast with him. It was a real treat. He is a Train fanatic. Like, he knows his shit. And then on top of that,
I need to talk to him more about that, because I mean, we hadn't even gotten out of Salt Lake City on our way to Reno. We passed by the Stadler factory and I was losing my mind, because they have a train set that's out there. They have a couple trains out there about to be shipped off to
The orange ones.
Yeah, the orange and white ones.
Yeah, they're going to California apparently.
Yeah They also had some out there that were going to Georgia for something, but...
Have you never been to the Ogden Train Museum? You've never been?
No, I have been. Good. I go every year.
It's so cool.
They have the big locomotive festival. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have the big festival there every year.
They have a huge Christmas festival there.
That's that too, yeah.
But Zephyr wants to come out next year and just hang out for a couple of days here in Salt Lake. So I thought, hey, why not? We'll go take him up there, so you'll come with us as well.
Yes. But
what was really unique about Zephyr that I wasn't expecting is that he can actually replicate the sound of the trains as they go by, like tracks, for instance. He kind of like made the sound of what tracks sounds like when it goes by you. And I'm like, oh my God, I swear to God, I'm standing next to a track station right now.
Yeah.
Tracks go by. He's phenomenal with that.
You know, something, when he comes down, I'll take him on the front runner of the tracks, because I get free UTA pass.
Oh, right on.
And a free plus one on the UTA.
We should go on the Heber Creeper. Have you ever been on the Heber Creeper?
I've not, but I've heard so much about it.
It's a really slow train ride, but it's still a lot of fun. I've never been on it, and I've always wanted to go on it. I need an excuse, so.
Yeah.
I hear people say it's uncomfortable, but who cares? It's a train. I also got to meet Cynical. He is in chat. Let me grab his name real quick. Cynical. Maybe not. Oh, Jax Rain, I think is what he goes by. But I got to meet him. He does a lot of, I think he's the director of registration at Denver. So I got to meet him finally. I got to meet a couple of people, which I was really excited for. I got to meet Paco Panda, which
I met Paco too.
So I fangirled.
Same. So Paco Panda, he's one of two artists who really inspired me to make art. And like, my whole art style is based off of Paco Panda and another artist named Soy Milk. And both of them were there. I got to meet both of them at BLFC. And I was so excited just because they've literally shaped my art as a whole.
When we interviewed him, he was doodling some art in the background of us recording. And so I'll send it to you.
I'm doodling now.
He doodled this and I have made it my background and I haven't changed it for years. So,
That's adorable.
Right? How cute is that?
Oh, I love that.
So I was volunteering at the panel table and I was just sitting there, you know, directing people around. And all of a sudden I turn to my right and I see a panda and I'm like, oh my God, it's Paco Panda. Like, I freaked out. I've always wanted to like get a hug with him. And then later on, I went down to the dealer's den and I actually got his book, Art and Bureau. And then he even signed it too. So I'm just like,
Oh, that is awesome.
It's the best.
Yeah. I passed him. I was walking through the con space and I saw a panda fursuit and I passed him and I looked back and I was like,
in his classic red cape.
Oh my God. God, is that Paco?
It is.
I lost my mind. It's my boyfriend. He's like, we need to go to dinner. And I'm like,
no.
Shut up. It's Paco.
Yeah. And I didn't even know he was going to be there. I didn't either.
So I had to do a double check. I was like, wait, is that him? And so I pulled up Twitter and I was like, it is.
It's him.
I know. So I was so excited.
So elated. I don't really fangirl about a lot of things, but I do fangirl about Paco Panda. So
that's good. Did you get to meet Bandit Healer?
No.
You didn't?
No.
He was there. So he was there this year.
I saw his suit.
Dresses or with the Bandit Healer fursuit. I got to meet him too and I got pictures with him. I was so excited for that.
Let me look at the pictures that I got, because I could have sworn I took a picture of... I took a couple of pictures of some kimono fursuits, which I was telling Felix. I'm like,
if you... Really good ones there.
If we see them, we have to take pictures with them, because, you know, why not? Maybe I didn't get a picture of the healer. No, I didn't. Bummer. I got a couple of other pictures. I got a picture with a really cool fursuit that had, like, these mochi paws that looks like a jack-o'-lantern almost.
Hmm.
I'll share for you.
And say, I'm going through really quick. I'm trying to find.
So that one.
Here's my picture with Paco, and here's my picture with Bandit.
Aww.
Yeah, so that was such
a cute fursuit. Both of you do.
Yeah. I was really happy to finally get to meet them.
The Bandit Healer fursuit is cute, especially since if you find the other two that go with it, the Bluey and then the sister.
Sorry, say that again. My headphones were just
Oh, no, you're fine.
For some reason.
I'm not sure if the other two were with him, Bluey and Bingo.
Bluey and Bingo were not there.
Okay, I thought I saw something.
I'm hoping they're going to be at MFF, because if they are, I'm totally getting a picture with all of them.
I saw this fursuiter. I thought their fursuits were absolutely adorable. I didn't find out until after I took the pic that the girl on the left is the one that made the fursuit.
Oh,
she nice. Actually made both of these. Yeah.
Okay, so really quick, I have another. I just got to show these because the other artist I met, Soy Milk, so they make their own fursuits and they're so good because they like perfectly match her art style as well. That's her fursuit style.
Wow.
And like she's only ever made two fursuits for her what? And her boyfriend. I know. There's some good money to be made there because they're so well made.
They are. See, here's the thing I'm starting to notice. When I was at BLFC, I found out a lot of the pictures that I took were of people who made their own fursuits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, if I look at the time when I started joining, when I joined the fandom to where I am now, there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of fursuit makers out there. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
And there were tons of fursuit makers in the dealer's den too, which was really cool to see.
See, to me, that was a really cool thing about BLFC is because I feel like at most conventions, you have a lot of the repetitive styles where it's like, you have
lemon,
this
like huge, Lemon Brat was there, yeah. And I was like, whatever.
Lemon Brat, well, like you just have like Made for You, Don't Hug Cacti, like they just have such a huge presence at the bigger cons. But this year at BLFC, there was a lot more variety, a lot more suits made by like small makers self made. My suit was made by a high school kid in Texas who wants to be a fursuit maker when he grows up. And so he's just kind of been practicing and working on smaller projects. And so I got my fursuit from him and it's not a huge brand.
Yeah.
And I really like how it allows for a more unique and diverse fursuit population at the con.
Yeah. I think a smaller, like, I like the smaller fursuit makers because they can actually put all of their attention and all their
time and attention, and not only that, usually their customer service is better.
Oh yeah.
But
hands down.
I know Lemon Brat has a lot of problems with that kind of thing, but I'm not gonna get into that.
No, we actually read an email what was it? We were doing Fangasms and someone had emailed in about them wanting to know, is Lemon Brat a good one? And I know that like Sparrow doesn't like Lemon Brat for her own reasons. I've never had any issues with them. So the way I had to answer it was, you kind of have to just do your own research and decide on your own.
If yeah. It's for you. I mean, it's not really a personal experience kind of thing, but I've just heard a lot of kind of issues.
It's just like
with their suits and stuff.
The thing is when I don't think it's special when something becomes mass produced.
Yeah.
So when you got multiple seamsters, you know, doing these fursuits, it's not special anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If it works for you, it's great. If your company's soaring, awesome. But it's not for me.
Yeah. So yeah. That's like understandable.
Yeah. So yeah, that was BLFC basically in a week. Mm-hmm. Lots of things going on. Lots of events. There were game rooms you can do. The con or the hotel itself had like a VR.
They had a VR game lounge.
And I wanted to go into it, but I just didn't have time or I even forgot about it.
I looked into it. It was pretty pricey to actually do that.
Yeah.
I didn't end up doing it.
It was like $40 for like 15 minutes. I'm like, 15 minutes? What?
That's
the other way around. It should be $15 for like 40 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's like, oh, I'll just play with my own Oculus. Thank you.
Yeah. They did another thing called like Sensology, which is like using different senses to like navigate yourself around. It's essentially like what do you call them? I'm losing my mind here. You're locked into a game room.
Oh, an escape room.
Thank you. Escape room. So basically, it's an escape room for your senses. The thing was, is I couldn't find it until like I kind of like was wandering around the last day of the convention, and I found it like tucked away. And I'm like,
yeah, it's really tucked away. So it's tucked away next to the arcade. I didn't even realize the arcade VSR had an arcade.
Yeah.
It was honestly, when I walked into the arcade and I kind of walked around, it felt like a liminal space, in all honesty. I was really cool. I wanted first few pictures in there, and I put it off and then never got them.
We did pictures in the arcade last year, and then we got kicked out because we were wearing fursuits. So, understandable. You don't want to have figures in there. I get it. But still, it was pretty cool. But yeah, do you have anything else you want to mention before we kind of close our episode?
Actually, there was one thing. So the way they did the dealer's den this year, have you ever seen that before?
Oh, well, are you referring to like... the main area, and then there was like a branch on the left side?
Well, not just that, but like the first day the dealer's den opened, you had to reserve a time. You had to online and get a ticket into the dealer's. Okay, so they have?
Yeah,
they've done that. I heard a lot of people talking about like, why do they do this? This is so weird. And I don't know,
I think they do it to remain like exclusivity. So like if you were in the top tier, like Epic and what was the other one? Sponsor?
They got immediate access. I just kind of assumed it was to prevent a mass rush of the dealer's den.
I think that's how it is, but like
minute it opened.
When we did it, I got assigned like group one for the second day, or the first day for regular attendees at 12 o'clock. But like the 12 o'clock line was insanely huge. Like
I got group 7 at 1:30.
That's so weird. But it was huge. Like, I think the room like doubled in size than last year. Mm-hmm. It was ginormous. So that was fun. I also bid on an item, and then at the last second, someone took that bid away from me. So,
oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's why I don't bid on items. I would get too into it and spend money I don't have.
Right. But I was kind of like, I hope I get it, but I hope I don't get it. So it's like, whew, I don't have to pay this anymore. But
yeah.
That's pretty much what it was. So
overall, I think it was a really good con. I really enjoyed it.
I got to see some people, got to meet some people. So it was overall, I've been looking forward to it all year, and I was not disappointed. Yeah.
Honestly, me and my boyfriend, it was pretty impromptu. We just kind of were like, should we go to BLFC this year? Yeah. Okay. I'm like, when is BLFC? Oh, crap. It's in a month. Well, let's get tickets in a hotel really quick. it was really impromptu. But I mean, I'm glad I went.
Yeah. Wait, did your microphone go out?
Did it? Can you hear me?
No. I can hear you now.
Oh, I have no idea.
It's okay. I'll get you a new microphone.
Oh, fabulous. I'll appreciate that.
Hooray.
Yay.
All the information that we talked about the con itself will be available in the information below. All you got to do is just click a link and boom, it takes you where you need to go. You can find us on Twitter, which is at From the Muzzle. We have our Telegram chat group, which is growing insanely fast.
I've noticed that we've had a lot of people joining recently.
Yeah, we've only had one bot so far, but other than that, it's gone pretty. It's like the last time I mentioned it, I think we were at like 129 or something.
Pulling it up right now. Yeah,
we're at 159 now. So, woo! So we have that, and then we have a Blue Sky. Don't really use it.
Blue Sky is one I struggle with because it's the new.
I don't think it's gonna go anywhere.
It's the new social media, and I just kind of forget it exists.
You can't even put photos on there yet. I don't think you put videos yet.
You can put photos. You can't put videos or GIFs. And that's something I'm hoping they work on.
You can't do polls either, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be like the opposite Twitter or the alt Twitter, but it's not that great so far.
it only has been out for a few months. I'm hoping they smooth it out. I think it has a lot of potential, but right now it's still in those beta phases.
I do have, let me log into our, how do I even change profiles? That's the other thing too. It's user, not so user friendly. I'm trying to figure out how to like maneuver between different profiles. It's on there somewhere on our Surf of the Muzzle one that if we get up to like 150 followers or so, we will do a art raffle and win some free art from Deer Dog. So, but we'll see.
I'll help with that art. I need a reason to draw. Sweet. It's been one of those things where it's like, I need to draw. Crap, it's 9:30 at night. I guess I'm going to bed. But I'll spend all day telling myself to draw.
You can draw the thumbnail for this one if you want.
Sure.
It's up to you.
I'll do it.
Cool.
Let's do it.
You guys can email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. Ask us any question you really want to. We'll answer if we decide.
We'll answer at our earliest convenience.
Yeah.
That is something I think we should work on, is like maybe answering a few emails at the end of each episode.
Yeah. Not this one, because this one's a little bit longer.
Yeah.
We've already actually cleaned out. No, I saw one email come in, but something we probably implement in the new year.
Yeah. New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, New Year's resolutions. Like losing weight. We'll see if that happens.
I feel that.
Oh, whatever, you're skinny.
No, I'm not. God, bro. I can just suck it in and I wear oversized t-shirts.
Whatever.
It's true.
I'm like a monster in comparison to you.
No, that's not true.
I'm a whole mountain, man.
No, you're just a cuddly teddy bear.
Yeah, that's true. Well, folks, if you have anything else you want to talk to us about, you know how to reach us. Other than that, have a fabulous day.
Bye.